welcome to today's show. My name is Mark Goodrich from Yarrandus Council. And once a month, I'm here joining Greg and a few community members to talk about what's happening in the Appy Yarra and what's happening in your community. And today, we've got an absolutely jam-packed show. We have with us today Dawn, who's the CEO of Ben Wearin, to talk about Ben Wearin's history and how they're serving the community. We also have Melanie Wilson and Leanne Hall from ECOS to talk and so there's a lot of obviously impact on community and families through this time, and I want to make sure people know that where they can provide updated information but also access information about services for you or your family support. And so you can go to the Yarrandus Council website, and on the very front page there is a COVID-19 page there, and it has updates from the state government around the current restrictions but also lots of information around where you can access services food and emergency relief support. So that information there is kept up to date. So if you want to find out more information about how to provide support or the current status of restrictions, please go to the council website and you have the most up-to-date information. And make sure that you look after yourself, look after your family, and look after yourself and community, because we're in this together. And the Appy Yarra is at a beautiful, amazing place with some very strong community, amazing townships, and together we can really look after each other and be stronger and be resilient through this time that is challenging for all. And on that mark about resilience, Council has just launched a new grant called the COVID-19 Community Relief and Recovery Program. So this grant is just launched on Saturday. If you've been familiar with our grant from Council, it's very similar to our small grants process, so the same eligibility. So it's available for incorporated groups, not-for-profits, community groups, and creative artists as well. And this grant is up to $5,000 per applicant, and it is in direct response to the impact of COVID-19. And so a few different categories you can apply for in this, but it's really about helping to build the capacity and resilience of communities and the capacity and resilience of groups or community groups as well, and the creative artists as well in this area as well. So you can go to the council website to find out more. If you go to the council website at yarrandus.vic.gov.au and search grants, you'll come up with all our grants there. And COVID-19 has just launched 2 days ago. It's again run very similar to small grants. It runs every month, so you can apply whenever you like. They're assessed at the end of the month, and it is really focusing around what ideas and thoughts you have around how you can support your community and provide, develop some resilience and capacity building for your people in your area as well. So there's lots of information there on the council website. And if you want to find out more, go to the website, but also you can call council or email them and ask to speak to your local community development officer. We can help you work out how you can apply and your ideas and support you to develop your ideas and programs as well. So a little bit more information as well around what can be included and what you can apply for. So if you're thinking about how to build some capacity in your community or your organisation, you can apply for funding to develop some training and programs for your volunteers and staff to help them to deal with the impact of COVID-19. You can apply for upgrading your equipment as well. So if you're looking to do more programming like we are now via your event online and via the internet, you might need to upgrade your equipment, so there's availability for funding for that as well. Skill building for workshops and training for volunteers in arts. Also the capacity building for the creative industry as well, looking to how you can deliver your artwork to the broader community. And also providing support to provide emergency support to your community. So if you're looking to need to offer support for your volunteers to help them deliver their emergency relief or help them access community more, you can also apply for funding for that. So again, go to the council website and you'll be able to find all the details are there. And the council's phone number again, if you need it, is 1300 368 333. That's 1300 368 333. So I'll update again at the end of the show as well about some more information there, but just started now. So please have a think about it. If you have an idea of how you can support your community, how you can make sure that we are in this together and that we can look after each other, and some ideas or projects that you think could really benefit, please just call and and there's some funding there to help you support that. But first, we have Dawn. So Dawn is the CEO of Ben Wearin, and today Dawn's our first guest to talk about the history of Ben Wearin. It's been around for a very long time and supported many, many families and children in the area, and thought today's show would be great to sort of dig deep into who is Ben Wearin and how did it start, what they're, how they support community and what they're up to right now, and maybe some dreams for the future as well. I know they've got some big dreams of how they'd like to continue on. So welcome, Dawn.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you very much for letting me be here.
That is odd, isn't it? We're here, but we're all in different spaces. I'm in my home here. And are you, where are you joining us from, Dawn?
I'm doing it from my home in Wurri, Wurri Alley.
So, Dawn, if no one's heard of Ben Wearin before, how do you explain what Ben Wearin is and what you do?
Okay. Well, normally, and there is no normal now, is there? But normally it's time out for women and children in need. So people can come terms 1, 2, and 4 for a week's stay or a little bit longer, and it's prevention better than cure. So if you need time out and a break, et cetera, you can come. Or if you think you're looking like you're having a crisis, et cetera. So lots of agencies send people to us for those purposes, those reasons. Within a large space, so we're on 2 acres and we've been given the next door as well, which is 20 acres. So it means people have got space to just be, to explore, et cetera, et cetera, but opportunity to speak, to share, to listen, et cetera. And we normally do the meals, and people are able to relax and get a good sleep and so on.
It's an absolutely stunning property you have there.
I've been lucky to
visit. It's just so tranquil, and you've got the creek running in the background. So for those families who have been doing it tough to go there and have that respite and be in this amazingly nurturing, tranquil environment must mean so much to them as well.
It's a great – I grew up there. So I know what it's like to be blessed by the Yarra Valley, and I want others to feel that, especially for me, for kids. I love them to have that freedom. Yeah, I was talking to a young boy the other day, and because of the COVID-19, we cancelled him from the school holidays, but he and his mother were able to come up for mental health challenges, and he was riding around on his bike, absolutely loving it. And I said to him, you know, how is it this time? And he said, oh, Ben Wearin is usually sitting around the table eating with people and having lots of fun and conversations, or having games nights and so on in our school holiday program. And I said, well, how is it now for you? You know, because there's nobody here, we've got to isolate people. And he said, oh, I love riding around on my bike, et cetera. And his mum's been a very wise lady, because his son's got a lot of energy. Began to come to Ben Wearin when he was about 2, and he's about now 11 or something. And about once a year, you know, or even twice a year, he'll come up. Initially, he was even challenged that he could only do it for a couple of days, and we could probably only do it for a couple of days, but now he just loves the place and feels like he belongs. And so she's actually got an electric bike, so that they can go out on the trail, and all his energy, you know, she's riding the electric bike and he's using all his energy, which I think is a fantastic idea. I hadn't heard of that before. Yeah. And I think any single parent who's got a child with a lot of energy, it's not a bad idea, actually.
You can keep up with them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So he's still loving it, even though it doesn't have all the people there. But we, unfortunately, with the COVID-19, we have to do the right thing and have the spacing. We can only have a few people at a time.
And it's phenomenal that you're able to really be adaptive and still be able to continue to provide support to the families most in need through this time as well, which is so important, because it can be quite challenging for families at this time.
Yeah.
And you mentioned you grew up on Ben Wearin. So how did you end up growing up in Ben Wearin?
Okay. So my parents bought the property in 1951. It was already a Christian guest house, and they had their experience previously. Mum was all, she loved people, and she was always talking with people. And she and a number of other friends had started what we would call a playgroup nowadays, back in 1943 when they were in Melbourne. Mum and Dad had been through the experience in the war where they'd bought a farm. Pop was doing the milking, etc., and then Pop became sick. Dad was with Commonwealth Aircraft, so he couldn't leave work, so they had to come to Melbourne, and they had nowhere to actually go. And during the war, that was quite a challenge. Mm-hmm. And so some people who were, Mum only just knew, and who didn't have much money or anything like that, but they moved over from their bedroom and offered their rooms to Mum and Dad and Nan and Pop and two children. Wasn't me then, but two children. So Mum always remembered that, but those both really helped her, and so she knew what it was like, you know, to feel like homeless. There was some illness in the family at different times as well, so she understood what it was from grandmother going through menopause and various stages in women's life. So she always hoped to help women, and so a number of them started paying a couple of ladies, Mothercraft nurses and so on, to go into homes to help the women. If they had, you know, twins come home or dad had left home or whatever it might be. And that group of people got interested in the concept of having a place for women. So so they went up to Ben Wearin. Now, it didn't turn out quite like they'd hoped. The committee were a long way away and that didn't all turn out. But they ran as a guest house and Mum still had the opportunity to be able to share with people and listen. So that's really what was of value at the guest house.
Yeah.
And then there's actually quite a journey with regard to what happened. My parents, eventually Mum wasn't well and we moved down to a farm, but Mum always wanted to keep the place for time out. So yes. A group of people who'd been helped by Mum and Dad and come into their home, et cetera, created a committee with Mum. Mm-hmm. And often Dad was told he needed to sell Ben Wearin and Mum would bring up her prayer partners in Melbourne and say, pray it won't sell. anyway, 35 years after 1943 when they imagined it, opened people for refuge officially. But prior to that, the 10 or 15 years before that, people who were challenged could go and look after themselves or be at Mum and Dad's place for a week or two and be helped, et cetera. And that actually developed people who started, were on the committee and were committed to Benmore and becoming what it is now. Yeah.
It's incredible, that story of that whole circle of somebody, you know, like your mother who was struggling with, you know, that time and provide support, but then really saw the impact of her life and how she could give back as well.
Yeah.
And then that has continued. You've mentioned before where families have come in many years ago and have really benefited from it now, coming back to contribute, and that young boy who's, you know, started when he's two, is now 11. It's really that home away from home for those people. It's amazing.
It is. They often call it their country house.
Yes.
They feel like their own at some of them because they've been back every year, you know, for a holiday. It's their holiday place.
And for people who haven't ever been to Benmore, it is such a picturesque place. You've got this beautiful old farmhouse there, big dining area and big kitchen, so everyone can sit down at one table and share meals and have a chat, and that's so important for families as well. Yeah. Lovely grass areas, big trees, a creek in the background. It's just such an amazing place for people to come back and really feel safe and be able to connect with themselves and their families and take some time out. Just it's really so impactful. Now we're going to have a little quick break to a song and then when we come back, I'm actually going to ask you about the name Ben Wearin, because I actually don't know where that name came from. Well, I'll go for a break for a song. We'll come back and say where that name came from.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Council, and I'm joined with Dawn, the CEO of Ben Wearin. We've just been chatting about the history of Ben Wearin. It's got a long history. Back in, parents bought it in 1951, which I realised next year will be the 50th anniversary of Ben Wearin itself in that place. Mm-hmm. And we said before the show, we're actually going to talk about the name Ben Wearin, because I don't know the history of that. Can you tell us a bit about the name itself?
Well, it was chosen by the family before us, the parents who lived there, mm-hmm. and they'd had a home called Ben Wearin, apparently in Albury, I believe, but it's Scottish.
Aha.
I used to think it meant being weary, because, like, Ben Wearin's a bit like that, and a lot of people think they're weary, but it actually means a house on the hill. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Scottish for a house on the hill.
There you go. Yeah. Scottish, I didn't know that. That's lovely.
Yeah.
And we were in a break when everyone was listening to our song. We actually have a chat. You mentioned something really interesting about one lady came who was in her 30s, and she said when she came to Ben Wearin, it was the first time she'd felt safe in her life.
Yeah, she'd only been there about 20 minutes or something. I showed in the room, and she was from a challenged circumstance at the time, and she just said, "You guys must pray a lot." She said, "I've never ever in my life felt safe before." And she felt safe. So it is a place where people feel safe.
Mm.
Yeah. Now we need to feel safe. If we look at Maslow's hierarchical needs list,
yes.
We need to be fed, to have rest, to have space, and to feel safe, so that we can, I guess, regenerate in many ways. Yeah.
You do, you definitely, yeah.
And rethink, yeah. So we want people to feel that way, yeah.
Yeah. That space you have to you, like you mentioned before, but it's so important for people know that they are heard and they are seen,
yes.
They are loved,
yes.
And that's all about being safe.
Yes, and our volunteers, we have wonderful volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always have enough, but we do have wonderful volunteers who've really made it. It can't be any one person or anything like that. There's so much now to do. There's so many running an organisation, actually, just, requires a lot of red tape, et cetera.
Yes.
So we've got staff and volunteers who are really fantastic and able, and they are kind and they're caring. I remember one lady coming in just from a conversation she'd had with her family, and apparently it had all been erupting and so on. She said, "I just love this place. Everybody who's here is kind." And for her, she was only a young lady, and she just said, "I want to have a." I knew she wasn't going to get a house straight away, but she was thinking she would. And she said, "As soon as I get my house, I'm going to get my brother to come and live in my house, and we're going to have a house where we're all kind like that." Which was lovely. It's people that a model, I suppose, of what life can be. Yeah,
absolutely. And that young boy you mentioned too before, he was 2 years old, now 11, coming back, and that impact of his life coming back here and returning to Ben Wearin, and seeing a place how people are loving and supportive and caring and listen, and move slowly, and take your time.
Yeah. Well, he loved one of the things that's great for the boys. We often have some male, couples around, and Ali and Frank Double, who are now 78 and 79, I think. I hope they don't mind me telling their age, but they're around, say, doing events or many events or something, and the kids love to be out there,
With, yes, sense of purpose and contribute. So important.
Yeah, which is really lovely. So I had a lovely time in the lounge only yesterday because of the COVID. We can't take people all together, and the dining room is only 24 square metres. Now, we usually put about 20 to 24 people in there. We can only put six now, and we're all a distance away, so it's a bit different. So we had two mums, several metres from each other, and two teenagers, and those teenagers had also grown up from about the age of two coming to Ben Wearin. And they now are able to come in their own space and time. They're too old for the program. But one's just turned 17 yesterday. It was a birthday, and the other one. And they're doing year 10 and 12, or 9 and 11 and 12. Mm. And just talking to them was really lovely. And one of those mums just said to me, I remember once when I was getting too tired at one stage, and I thought, I really had enough. And I came, and she was coming for the holiday, and she came, and like she read my mind, and she said, "Dawn, don't you ever stop this place. This has been my lifesaver." And every year, it's the only holiday that family have ever had. And those kids can still come into that space. It was just lovely talking to them. One's going to do outdoor education, he's doing year 12 and so on. And I love talking to them. Some of the people have still got challenges on their way. There's still a lot of challenges to deal with. But they feel at home and feel like they can talk about those things. So it's been really great. Unfortunately, we can't take that many people at once now.
Yeah, unfortunately. Hopefully that this will be a short-lived with the pandemic and be able to come back to a life as normal as possible soon. But I know you've been wearing stuff like you're currently now providing accommodation support for people who are homeless or at risk of homeless. Yeah. And you also normally do respite, so families and women and children who need some time out and need some rest, they can come in for a short period of time just to get some respite for themselves, and also providing childcare through that time so the mothers themselves get some time to recover and relax and look after themselves, because it is a very tough time.
And we have a follow-up program as well, so it's about over 100 people on that. And that's become very important, really, when the ladies who work with that are bringing these folk up. And at the moment, they said conversations that used to be 15 minutes are now nearly an hour, because the ladies, you know, a lot of them are isolated, a lot of them have got challenges, they've got their kids at home, etc. So there's lots of opportunity to chat and so on with that, you know. So that's really good.
And so I was thinking, so if you had a magic wand you could have your dream.
I'd love to have a centre, and I hope one day we still will, where the children can have age-appropriate activities. I don't want kids, teenagers, having to take all the hurts and so on into their teenage years. I want opportunity for kids, and we do some of this, but I want a place where the kids can have a program, as it were, while mum is resting and relaxing. So at the moment, mum is responsible for her children, except for the hours that we do have some child minding. But really want it so that the mums can have a total break during the day, and the children can be in activities that are age appropriate. That will, you know, you put therapy at the end of everything, music therapy, you know, and we can do a lot of environmental science as well, because we're in such a wonderful area to do environmental science, et cetera. So as an ex-teacher, I kind of, you know, I've got eight areas that be involved in. So that's my dream, to have opportunity for that. We also want to double the dining room size, so that's probably going to be something we have now that we have to think about, because I think distancing will be in for quite a long while. And that had been on the agenda, so don't have the money for it, but we'll just start planning for those sorts of things now during this time. And in the meantime, we've got a number of homeless folk. We've got a moving forward program with Anchor, whereby the ladies come for a couple of weeks and we cook for them and so on, and we get to know them, and then they move on into a couple of houses that are on the property next door that we've been given. And they have in theory it was 3 months to sort of find a place. And in the meantime, we have courses like Boundaries and Circle of Security and so on, where they can take part with those, or learning to cook, or whatever it might be that they can have. So that during the COVID time is possibly, you know, what we'll be emphasising.
And so if people who are listening would like to support Ben Wearin, what's the best way they can provide support to Ben Wearin now?
Right. Well, we do have the op shop. We're not sure after this afternoon if the op shop will continue, but we do have a wonderful op shop. Brigetta and all her team have open.
Yarra Junction.
Yarra Junction, and it's open between 10 and 2. And that has been an absolute lifesaver in the last number of years. It's been fantastic. There are others who support us too, but that has been fantastic and kept us going even this year. Others, Mission Enterprise and Sapphire Fat Care Foundation, have been fantastic too, but and some individuals. So finance is always helpful and wonderful. That's great. Sometimes you might have some skills that you might be able to use, anything from cleaning. We always need cleaning, etc. Cooking through to it might be dietary type advice you have or help or coaching or something like that. So there's always ways in which you can help from that point of view. And I just think loving and caring for everybody that you happen to meet. And we need to be very careful when we're with people who are vulnerable that we realise that if they get a little bit of a chance to talk and to share, they'll often find some of the answers themselves. Now, we're a Christian organisation and we love to share Jesus with those that want that, you know, and those who are happy with that. We don't push that down anybody's throat. But every person is... it's amazing what they have inside them. You know what I'm saying? Just a listening ear. And just sometimes we might be able to inform people of something that they don't know about. But very often, particularly we ladies, if we can talk out stuff, we can sometimes start to hear the answer. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think it's such great advice, particularly now when you know in your own home or in your own community where you know somebody's struggling, just to be that great listener, not jump in to try and find solutions, but just that person better express how they're feeling and let that go and just be there to listen is such great support. So Dawn, you were doing, and your volunteers and your board have done incredible work throughout the decades, and I hope you continue to do that for many more. Thank you so much for spending the time today. I really appreciate it.
And if
people want to help to support Ben Wehren or find out more, you can go to their website, which is Ben Wehren, BenWehren.org.au. And there's information there around the services and contact details as well. So thank you again, Dawn.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it very much.
We're going to shoot to a song now. And next is Melanie Wilson and Leanne Hall from ECOS.
Down, baby, gotta have
And you're listening to the Community Connection Show at Yarra Valley FM. And my name is Michael Goodrich from Yarra's Council, the Community Development Officer for the Upper Yarra. And our next guest here is Melanie Wilson from ECOS. Hello, Melanie.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. Now, where are you joining us from today? Because we're all in our remote areas.
Well, I'm actually sitting at home in Wesburn, which is like a bit of a minute away from ECOS, the market, actually. So, yeah, I'm actually pretty close to where I'm going to be talking about. And I think we're trying. It's actually myself and Leanne Hall. We're going to be talking about this beautiful market that's going on. Leanne is having some techo issues, so we're hoping that she can jump in during the interview, but I will at least get started with chatting away.
We're rolling along on live radio via the internet, so it's, we're being adaptive, aren't we?
We sure are.
So the people would have known a lot about the Warburton Summer Produce Market. It's been going for many years.
Yes.
And this year is the first time actually it's gone beyond summer.
Yeah, it has. It surprised us. Leanne took over coordinating the market this year, which is its fifth year, and I helped too, just sort of assisted with that, and we just adored it. It was an amazing summer experience. And I guess what happened was the last scheduled weekend we had for it, which was mid-March for the Warburton Summer Produce Market, the COVID, sort of our first round of lockdown occurred coinciding with that particular weekend. And so what happened, which was completely unplanned, was that one of our main veggie producer that was one of the storeholders at the Warburton Summer Produce Market is based, and their farm is based at ECOS. Which is our environment park in Wisburn. So they decided to continue selling from the farm gate just to really help the community have access to food, still keep everything local. And they did some farm gate sales, and they kept it in the same time slot, which was Friday afternoon, which was when the water was on, and it took off. It was just a word of mouth thing just to really keep everything running smoothly, just social distancing. And, you know, Leanne also works for ECOS on a part-time basis. So she immediately took over coordinating that and just making it run well. And within, you know, a few weeks, some of the other storeholders said, well, can we join and just kind of jump on at the farm gate and keep selling our produce, our local produce as well. So the community were loving it. I turned up and started doing some surveys just to see how the Warburton produce market had gone for people and what they were wanting to continue with, how they were finding this new shopping experience. And the feedback was just wonderful. People were loving it. It just started growing naturally. More stalls jumped in, more local businesses, food growers. And, gosh, it's been, where are we now? We're in August, and this has been running since mid-March, and it's just been good.
Yeah, so it's incredible. And you say it's so easy. Oh, we just started a new market, but it was a lot of work that yourself and Leanne got into, actually, particularly because of COVID-19, to make sure that you're meeting the requirements for restrictions and that everyone was safe, and to work with all the staff there and the storeholders to make sure that they could participate and trade and continue, which was incredible to see. You know, at that point in time when everyone's under a lot of stress, you really just jumped in and were really adaptive to continue that market at the ECOS. And because that, it's just grown so well. So you started with about three storeholders, correct? Is that right?
Yeah, three storeholders, and now on different weeks, it sort of varies the amount of stalls there. But as a general rule, there's about 10 stalls now that are consistently there, and, you know, all of which are food and, you know, selling food and drinks of different kinds. So we've got fresh fruit and veg, you know, organic biodynamics, local spray-free fruit and veg. We've got wine, bread bakers, cider, eggs, cheese, microgreen sprouts, you know, bulk dried food goods like fruits and nuts. We've got Aztec artisan chocolate. You know, we're even selling masks there that are locally made, looking at getting some hot food, takeaway food options, you know, and of course when permits, you know, we have had the refills from, you know, the eco-friendly sort of household products and personal care items, which we can't currently have, but we certainly will again. So it's only going to grow, and the community, you know, it's just building, it's spreading. People are coming. Even last Friday, we had, you know, a number of people who are coming for the first time. Every week, people are hearing about it and still coming and saying, "This is my first time. I've heard all about this. It's fantastic. We love what you're doing. Keep doing it. We want more." So we're just responding to that, you know. And Leanne, as you're right, she's done an incredible job. I know that week by week there were, you know, changes as it's grown. We've needed better systems for social distancing. You know, stall holders managing expectations and all the, you know, changes around what's possible. So it has been a constant adaptive process, and she's done a brilliant job with it. Yeah.
And I think Leanne is back with us. Leanne, can you hear us? We can see you.
Ooh.
No, I think she's hoping that's okay. But
Hang on.
Yes.
I can. Hello, hear Leanne. Can you hear us? Me? Into
yes,
the sunshine.
Welcome.
You can't hear me? Hello, hello. Hello. Yes, I've gone outside into the
Yes, we can hear you. It's fantastic.
To the last of the sun, and hoping that I've got better reception out here.
You're sounding great. And it looks beautiful for you. People are listening to radio, but we can see your face, your beanie on, and outdoors looking amazing as well.
Was I meant to continue on there? Sorry, I missed what you've already talked about.
So we're just talking about, you know, the great work you've done. The start is through COVID-19 to actually be so adaptive through a really difficult time to make this market happen, and incredibly how it's grown just from these three storeholders to set off with to now a huge array of storeholders there that are providing, you know, everything from like the fresh produce to masks to chocolate, to cider. It's just incredible. And it's so important too for those small business owners and the storeholders there. For them, this is, you know, this is their bread and butter. So providing that space for them to continue to trade and for them to support themselves and their family is so, so important. What do you think, why do you think this has been so successful? You're saying it like it's just been something that's really organically happened and the support's happened. Why do you think that is?
I think it's successful because, gosh, the timing of it was impeccable. Like it just rolled from something that already had such momentum and support from the community and visitors that, you know, it just flowed straight into this new market, which I think as well the location of it's fantastic. You know, ECOS being based on Old Warburton Highway, Old Warburton Road in Wesburn, it's a great location because it brings people from both directions of the valley. It's already got its own following, I guess, ECOS as well.
Yes.
It's been running for so many years, so people are familiar. Also, you know, the community are really starving for the connection that something like this kind of enterprise enables them. It builds social capital. It supports the ethos and practices of ECOS to continue to stay vibrant and alive. It creates that local ability to shop local. You know, it kind of ticks a lot of boxes. So
it does, yes.
I guess it was as long as we were able to run it well, then it was just always going to work great. Mm. And I guess the one thing that we're doing.
So hopefully this is going to be one of the first of many, many years. Like the self-produce market in Warburton, this is going to be hopefully one of many years for ECOS and the market there to continue throughout that off-season as well.
Definitely. That's what it's doing. It's definitely filling a big gap. It's continuing on and building what has already got a great following. And, you know, our aim is to bring the Warburton summer produce market back over summer again, and just to literally, I suppose, in a way, pick up and move the market across to Warburton and continue it on. We've also started trading on a Saturday morning at ECOS from 10 till 1, and we've got one of the stall holders, which is actually my stall, selling organic fruit and veg, open from 10 till 1, as well as our Tenanson local chocolate business based there. Our bread we're selling on a Saturday morning. So we're trying it out and seeing whether that's a good option to shop on a Saturday morning as well for some of their basic items. Yeah. And that's kind of the new part of it.
That's fantastic. And so for people who have not visited, who are in the area and haven't gone to the markets, it's at ECOS and on a Friday afternoon.
Yep. Friday from 3 till 4:30. So it does get busy pretty quickly because it's a small window of time. So we encourage people to, you know, get there on time so they can get their shopping done. And of course it's a come in and shop and head straight off and keep that flowing. ECOS, for those who aren't familiar, it's at 711 Old Warburton Road in Wesburn. And you can jump on the website, which is ecos.org.au, which has got, of info about the market. And you know, it what we're doing as well is when people turn up is we're getting people to give some gold coin donations, which is helping towards maintaining the grounds, maintaining the facilities, improving infrastructure so that we can have better wet weather options for the market. And we're looking for support, volunteers to help us run it, and you know, just people to get involved in any way they can and want to, because it's a beautiful thing.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Melania. And Leanne, you guys have done incredible work throughout this time to make this market happen and provide a great space for local small business owners and traders to continue their work, and also for community to access locally produced and made produce and products as well. So thank you so much for your amazing work. And we're hopefully people can continue doing the markets as well. And again, go to ECOS website to find out more details. Our last little guest today is Sarah. Sarah's the Environmental Volunteer Officer at Yarrandus Council. Hello, Sarah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you going, Michael?
Yeah, very, very well. Now, you've got a really quick, nice update for us in regard to some webinars.
Yes, I do. Thank you so much for the time. Look, a few webinars is coming up. So the first one is actually this Saturday, the 8th of August. It's called Kickstart Your Plastic-Free Life. So it's going to start at 10 a.m. to about 11. So that's going to be exciting. That's actually the author of the Quitting Plastics book. So we've got quite a few people signed in. And then we've got a couple of Black Snake productions. That company is going to do a couple of webinars for us too. So one on local marsupials, the 29th of August at 10 a.m. again to about 11:30. And then local reptiles on the 19th of September, 10 a.m. to 11:30 again. Next one is over. But just in your... so that's again at 10. And then we have two other webinars coming up too, but we haven't quite confirmed those dates yet. So one of them is on platypus, and that probably is the 31st of October at 10 to 11 again, but still not quite confirmed. And the next one is wombats and mange, probably going to be held probably either in October or November. So, yeah, we're excited to have those webinars. And please, if you do want to book into them, just go into Council's website and you just go into the events page and then you can sign yourselves up, or our Council's Facebook page.
Thank you so much. There's so much to do and see, and great. Like, it's a tough time, but it's online and webinars now, so it's, you can still stay active and look after the environment and your community through those webinars. So please jump on the Council website and search environmental webinars, and you'll be able to find out all the information as well. Thank you for my guests today for joining me. It's been a jam-packed day, and some here great stories of amazing community members doing fantastic work. I'm going to finish off the show now. Last updates from Rhino is that the Council's COVID-19 Community Relief and Recovery Grant is now open, up to $5,000. So please go to the Council website and search grants to find information. And if you need to provide any updates for COVID-19 around services, restrictions and support, go to Council website and search the COVID-19. It has all the information you need around updates and the service providers in the area. Thank you so much for your time today. We look forward to speaking to you next month. And enjoy your day. Look after yourself, look after your family, and look after your community.